today as we come to the table.
This will be the highest mountain on the earth where the Lord's throne is. And all the nations shall flow to it. We're going to go up from year to year for sacrifices and celebrations and all these things. Not sacrifice like for sin or whatever. That's a whole other story. Memorial, feasts, and all these things will be happening. And we're going to be going on that holy highway that we talked about. And we're going to be flowing up to this place. What's it going to be? Who can imagine? This is going to be so glorious. Many people shall come and say, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. Look at this. He will teach us his ways. Guess who's going to be giving us Bible studies in the new kingdom? Jesus. Is that going to be awesome or what?
What do you think when it comes to the end times? Do you imagine wars and famines and disasters? It's true, those things are on the horizon. But don't forget what is in store for the believer when the world comes to an end. In today's message, Pastor Mark is going to show you what it looks like for you. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. When you get to the end of the world, God has some pretty unbelievable stuff in store for you. But the greatest part of all is that you will get to learn the things of God from God. Until that time, you're in a great place because Pastor Mark has so much to show you today. But imagine that day when we get to learn from God. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Matthew, chapter 25, as he continues his message, The Sheep and the Goats.
He's only going to give rewards. And so we're going to be able to say, way to go. That's great. Good job. And everybody's going to cheer each other on. And we're going to see the rewards given out. We'll be celebrating together in heaven. Kind of like an awards banquet possibly type thing, right? We don't know for sure. But then when that's done, at the end of 7 years, the Lord's going to say, saddle up. And we're going to all get on horses. Now they talk about, are there animals in heaven? There will be at least horses. So we're going to hop on horses. The Lord will be on a white stallion. We'll be on horses behind him. And it says we're going to just take off riding down toward the earth. And this is something else I always picture in my mind. I don't know if the Lord's just going to make us go whoop and be there. But I kind of just kind of hope he lets us ride through the universe. You know, you see these pictures from NASA? You see these pictures recently? Have you seen them? How beautiful it is in the universe? We're going to be riding, I believe, through the universe on these horses, looking around, going, whoa, whoa, whoa. No, not you. You keep going. Whoa, whoa, whoa. My horse stopped. Stop saying whoa. Anyway, I'm just kidding. We're going to ride all the way down to the earth, right? And then we're going to see ourselves closing in on the earth. It gets smaller, you know, larger and larger. We're closing in. And the Bible says when we get there, here's the scene. I'm building up the scene here for this sheep and goats. The scene will be the Antichrist is now, he has his armies all the way from Petra all the way up to what we call Armageddon. This is the second one, the Battle of Armageddon. His armies are stretched out over 200 miles, it tells us. The Jews are down there being protected by God supernaturally in Petra. He's going to go there first, and he's going to go alone. So I don't know if we'll all just be there in heaven watching him, the sky, I mean, or if we'll stay over Jerusalem. He's going to go down alone. This is personal for him, to go and protect his people, the Jews, his brethren. He's going to go and wipe out the armies of the Antichrist there at Petra. Then he's going to come back and join us. And that's why when you read in Revelation, he will have blood on his robes. Then we're going to join with him. He will come down, put his foot on the Mount of Olives. And when he puts his foot on the Mount of Olives with all of us right behind him, there's going to be an earthquake like this earth has never seen. It says that the mountains are all going to be thrown down. There will still be hills, if you will, but the mountains are all thrown down. And then at that point, the highest mountain on the earth will be the Temple Mount. It will raise up, be higher than any other hill on the earth as the others are thrown down. The Lord will place his throne there. It'll be a massive platform. He'll send the angels out. The angels will go and gather everybody on the earth. It says they go all over the earth and gather everybody that still remains alive to the Temple Mount and puts them there. I doubt they'll be showing up with big arms full, but however that's going to be, we'll have to wait and see. They're all going to be there. We're going to be watching it. The Lord will be seated on his throne. We probably will be there, I wouldn't think, I don't know where we'll be, maybe down below him, watching it in seats right there, whatever. We're going to be watching this scene. You won't be standing with the sheep. You'll be watching this because you've already been saved. You're already in your new body. You've already had the wedding supper of the Lamb. You're now watching those that just went through the great tribulation. All right? That's the intro. Now we start in verse 31. Notice what it says. And when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. I want to first point out the word glory as he comes back and the glorious throne. Why? It is the word doxa in the Greek, and it is only used of God. It is only used of the divine. Now, we all know that Jesus is God, but this is declaring that Jesus is God. He's going to come back as God, and he will sit on a God throne. I mean, what's that going to be like? Try to imagine this. I can't even imagine what it's going to be like. But notice this. It also says, and the holy angels will come with him. So we'll be coming back, but the holy angels will be with us. You know, I never thought about this. I knew they'd be coming, but I never thought it through in my mind until this week as I was studying. They're going to be coming back with us. Get this. When the Lord comes back after the wedding supper of the Lamb and we're all coming back to the earth for the sheep and goats judgment, heaven's going to empty out. Think about it. Nobody will be in heaven. We all are coming down to the earth. The holy angels are coming with us. Now, whether or not it'll sit empty for 1,000 years or whether or not we'll go back and forth, or I don't know all's going to happen as far as that goes, but it's wild to think that probably because the holy angels are coming down with us, they'll probably be here with us during the millennial kingdom. You'll be with the angels. It'll just be normal. Can you imagine walking up to go and worship the Lord there in Israel, as the Bible says we'll be doing on that holy highway, and you see these giant angels on either side of the door. You're like, morning, Gabriel. Morning, Mark. Good to see you. You're looking great as always. You know, whatever. I mean, I can't even imagine. What's that going to be? It's exciting, right? But that's what's going to happen. And notice verse, again, 32 here. It says this. It says, and all the nations shall be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep and the goats. And so he divides them up. We're all in position. Now, again, I want you to see what the Bible talks about when the Lord, when he lays this groundwork before he divides everybody up. He talks about what's going to happen when he comes back in the second coming. So I want you to get a more full picture here. And look what it says in Isaiah chapter 2. It'll be on the screen there for you, 2 verses 10 through 19. When the Lord comes back, this is what everybody's going to do. It says, enter into the rock and hide in the dust from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled. The haughtiness of men shall be bowed down. And the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Amen. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty, upon everything lifted up, and it shall be brought low, upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, upon all the oaks of Bashan, upon the high mountains and every hill that's lifted up, anything on the earth that's lifted up, in other words, is going to be humbled compared to him, upon every high tower, upon every fortified wall, upon the ships of Tarshish and the beautiful sloops. I love sloops. What a great word. The loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be brought low. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day. But idols he shall utterly abolish. They shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty. Remember, it says that when the Lord comes back, men will be hiding, trying to get away from him in caves, but he's going to find them. The angels are going to come get them and bring them here for the sheep and goats. And look at this. When he arises to shake the earth mightily. There's that giant earthquake when he puts his foot down on the Mount of Olives. Isaiah 2, verses 2 through 4, and bear with me a couple of longer ones here, but it says, it came to pass in the latter days, or shall come to pass in the latter days, that the mountain of the Lord's house, that's the Temple Mount, shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. That is, there'll be some hills left, not mountains, but hills, and this will be the highest mountain on the earth where the Lord's throne is. And all the nations shall flow to it. We're going to go up from year to year for sacrifices and celebrations and all these things. Not sacrifice like for sin or whatever. That's a whole other story. Memorial, feasts, and all these things will be happening. And we're going to be going on that holy highway that we talked about. And we're going to be flowing up to this place. What's it going to be? Who can imagine? This is going to be so glorious. Many people shall come and say, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. Look at this. He will teach us his ways. Guess who's going to be giving us Bible studies in the new kingdom? Jesus. Is that going to be awesome or what? Can you imagine the Lord sharing the word of God? And we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations. Now we're talking about this judgment here, the sheep and the goats. We're seeing it here in Isaiah. and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. So there'll be no more war during that time. And then Micah 4:1 says this, and it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and the peoples shall flow to it. So again, you see the setting. The whole topography of the earth changes. The angels gather everyone before him, all the people that are still alive after the great tribulation. They're now brought to this place on this platform before the Lord. He divides the sheep from the goats, verse 33. He will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And the king will say to those on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Can you imagine the joy at that moment? Just the excitement. We're all watching these guys, our brothers and sisters that came late to the party, but at least they're getting in, right? And we're there rejoicing with them, watching them about to hear the proclamation. They can enter the kingdom with us. And all the excitement and just the glow of the Lord's face and the beauty of his face. He says, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Now this again is talking about those that are taking care of people during the great tribulation. He's saying, look, now it applies to all of us. If you do something for the Lord right now, you're going to get that reward. If you minister to God's people, you're ministering to Jesus Christ. But the reality is, although we're going to have all that as well, he's speaking specifically here to those who got saved after the rapture and are now helping other people through it. He's saying there were people running from the Antichrist. They were running from the police that were arresting people because they didn't take the mark of the beast. And you gave them food. And you gave them drink. And you gave them clothing because they had to leave their house so quickly. You took care of them. You provided. You visited them when they were in the hospital. Think of the plagues and the sickness and the illness that's going to be happening during the Great Tribulation. And this is the one that jumps out to me more this time than ever. He says, I was in prison and you came to me. You know, you think about, yeah, visiting people in prison, that's great. But this is different. These are people in prison because they wouldn't take the mark of the beast, and they're about to be executed by the Antichrist. It tells us that in other places in Scripture, which means these believers are going to visit other believers in prison because they don't have the mark and they're going to be executed. Well, that means if you're a believer going to visit them, what do you not have either? You don't have the mark. And if they catch you, you'll be thrown in jail and you'll be executed. It's going to take great bravery, great boldness, great courage during this time to go to them. And the Lord's saying, you did it. You did it. You overcame your fear. These are a bunch of new baby believers. And again, in just a minute, they're going to say, we know they're baby believers, which gives more credence to this being the sheep and the goats and not the great white throne, because they're going to say, we didn't know we were doing that for you. Listen. When you go and do something for someone else today, do you know whether you're doing it for God or not? Of course you know. Why do you know? You've been walking with the Lord a while. You know the word. You know that when you do it for others, you're doing it for the Lord. You realize that. They're so young in the Lord, they don't even know that it's him they're doing it for. They're just trying to help out other brothers and sisters. And notice what it says. Notice what happens. Then the righteous will answer and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? In other words, you know, I love the way Keith Green says it. I would never forget that face. Right? Those who know Keith Green and that song that he does, The Sheep and the Goats, you know, I would have known. And the word you here is emphatic in the Greek. And what that means is it's magnified. Lord, I would have known that face. There's no way I'd miss that face. I didn't bring you food or give you clothing or visit you in prison or do all these things. When did I do these things for you? When do we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison or come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. Now, some believe because he uses the word my brethren, he's talking about those that helped the Jews during this time. There's certainly an application there, but I think it goes beyond that. I think it applies to all of us. It applies to everyone, not just the Jewish people, if you will. And again, remember this group of sheep. When you picture this in your mind and you're there, probably the group of sheep was a lot smaller than the group of the goats. Because again, not only is the gate narrow, but imagine the courage it will take after the rapture to follow Jesus Christ. Listen, it's getting harder to follow Jesus Christ today before the rapture, is it not? And if you can't follow him now before, what makes you think you're suddenly going to be brave enough to follow him afterwards? I think you need to pray and say, God, I need to have the courage to follow you, because if I can't follow you now, my life's not being threatened now. Nobody's telling me I have to take a mark now. Nobody's chasing me around the world right now with me in hiding. How am I going to do it then? Now, again, it might be so overwhelming at that time that you just break and do it. But the bottom line is now's the time. Now, before it happens, is the time. And so I believe it's going to be a much smaller group here that this is happening with. We're going to be watching them and all this taking place. And there's this joyous moment. Now, will they suddenly just kind of leave the platform and come and join us and stand, be with the Lord and ready to go into the kingdom? Or will they stand there to watch it? I don't know. But we're watching this whole event. Get it in your mind. And all of a sudden now, when he's done with all this celebration and all this rejoicing and maybe them coming to join us, hugs, rejoicing, I don't know what it's going to be. We'll know when we get there. All of a sudden, the whole feeling changes. The whole tenor of this thing just changes. All of a sudden now, the Lord just turns toward the goats. You know, the only difference between a sheep and a goat is a prayer. That's the only difference. But they didn't make the prayer. They didn't come to Christ. It's more than a prayer. It's your heart. But he turns to them. And he looks at them, and I wonder what his face is going to look like. I'm glad I'll never see that. Because it's going to be, look, I gave you every opportunity. I gave you a chance before the rapture, and then when you figured out after the rapture you'd missed it, I gave you another chance for 7 years, and you still shook your fist at me. And now you have your judgment waiting. Notice what it says, verse 41, then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed. It means you doomed, literally. Into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, there's a couple things I want you to note here. Look at this. Number one, he says they're cursed, they're doomed. Go into everlasting fire. Don't let that stumble you when you look at the three different judgments that are there. Hades is already fire. And if you go to Hades now, waiting for the final great white throne judgment, you're still in eternal fire. You're just not yet in the lake of fire. So they'll be cast into this Hades. But then this is the one I really want to point out to you. And that is, he says, you'll be cast into everlasting fire prepared for the, for who? The devil and his angels. Guys, if you're an underliner, this is an underliner. If you're not an underliner and you don't like that, then the person next to them, would you underline for them in their Bible? This is that important. Why do I say this? How many times have you heard, how could a God of love send anyone to hell? What he's saying right here is, not only have I never sent anyone to hell, not only will I never even thought about it, hell wasn't even created for mankind. Hell wasn't made for man. It was never intended for man. There was never a thought in my mind about man. Certainly he knew it being God, but that was never why it was created. It was created specifically, notice this, for the devil and his angels. And why such a horrible eternal place to be in a lake of fire that is also in darkness? Why? Because Satan and the fallen angels were in heaven. They saw God in his full glory. They have a much greater accountability because they know. And they saw. And because of that, he says, I've made a special place for you because your rebellion was so egregious. You say, all right, Mark, well, then if God never intended man to go there and God never sends man there, why do people end up there? Here's the problem, and this is where I want you to hear me, especially if you don't know the Lord. If you don't take what he's done for you on the cross to pay for your sins, you get lumped in with those that are being judged. And the judgment for those being judged is the eternal lake of fire. God doesn't want you to go there. God never intended you to go there. As a matter of fact, he gave his only son who would come and die for you so you would never have to go there. But you're the one choosing it. God's not sending anyone anywhere. I'm not choosing it. I'm not making the choice. No, Jesus said this. If you don't make a choice, you've chosen. Because I've laid it out. You have to make a choice. It's either coming through the blood on the cross or you're not getting in. And there's no other way to the Father. And this is all going to happen. And so the reality is we have a choice to make. And I encourage you, if not made that choice, to make it. I'll give you an opportunity in just a moment to do that. Notice what he says, for I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. So everything they did, you didn't do. And they're going to look at this. They try to use an excuse. They say, well, they'll answer him and say, it's similar to what the believer said. They'll answer and they'll say, well, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty? Or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and didn't minister to you. I mean, I would recognize that face. I know I never saw you. Even if you'd have seen him, you wouldn't have done it. He's saying, no, you don't understand. You were only thinking about yourself. You were only concerned with what you could do, how you could survive. You weren't thinking about other people and what they were going through. You weren't hiding them. I think about, you know, the Jews, those that hid the Jews in World War II. How scary and bold would that have been? How scary and bold? Because you know that if they get caught, if you get caught, you're all going to be put to death. And yet, because they knew that God wanted them to do it, they did it. That's what these group of believers, these sheep, are going to do during the Great Tribulation. And God's going to reward them for their special boldness and for all that happened. Like I said, even though they come late to the party, they're going to have a great reward. He says, you guys didn't do that. And then he will answer them and say, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. I think of their faces and just the horror. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now look, that's the bad news about all the judgment we just saw. The good news is this: there is nobody in this room that has to go there. You have a place in heaven if you will simply receive Jesus Christ as your Lord. If you will just go and say, Lord, I'm a sinner, I'm guilty, forgive me of my sin, I believe you died for me on the cross, the Bible says you'll be in heaven. God didn't intend anyone but the devil and his angels to not go to heaven. And the door is open for you now, but if you wait till the door closes, it's too late. Listen, there's sheep and goats. If you're a sheep, again, in most places, sometimes they both of them have a little bit more hair, but they're pretty distinguishable in where we are. The sheep are the fluffy ones, the fluffy white ones, or whatever. The goats are the ones with the short, coarse hair and whatever. And you'll know right now what is the fruit in your life. Now, if you're a sheep that's fallen away, you may be kind of living in an awkward place. By the way, if you're a sheep that's fallen away, you've got to be miserable today, and I'll tell you why. I know what you're doing. You're trying to go back into the world and hang out with them, and they're kicking you out. They don't like it. You go to the bar, and they say, hey, aren't you that guy? Aren't you a Christian? It's like, well, yeah. Well, what are you doing here? I was like, well, what are you doing here? Hey, I'm a goat. Get over it. I'm a goat. I'm supposed to be here. What are you doing? You're all fluffy and white. You're not supposed to be here. You've given your life to the Lord. And so the world will kick you back, and you're miserable. You can't go to the old buddies. Even if you try to do the things that used to feel good, you know, whatever, you do them, and then afterwards you're ridden with guilt, right? That's a sheep when it's living like a goat. A goat never knows the difference. A goat just lives that way. So here's my question to you. Are you a sheep or a goat? Do you get convicted when you live like the world? Do you realize that you're doing wrong? Do you know that you don't belong in that crowd, that you shouldn't be a part of them? Or are they kind of your buds and who you hang out with? Listen, if your buds are having buds, you're in the wrong crowd. You've got to really look at this and say, am I a sheep or am I a goat or am I a backslidden sheep? Listen, the only difference between a sheep and a goat is, again, a prayer. If you pray to receive the Lord and repent, you will be a sheep. And the only difference between a backslidden sheep or a muddy sheep who needs to come back and be washed off by a shepherd is simply coming home. If you're a sheep today and you've wandered off, come home. You don't belong there. You don't fit in with the world. You were never intended to be a part of them. You belong with the body of Christ. You belong with Jesus Christ. You belong with the family of God. Come home. If you're a goat and you're going, wow, I guess I didn't realize till today, maybe I'm a goat. And by the way, that doesn't mean the greatest of all time. That's an athletic saying today. It means you don't know God. And I'm going to give you an opportunity right now to pray, to repent, and to receive Him. Listen, don't be the person we read about today. Don't be the one that's separated out by the Lord in the wrong group, because once you get there, there's no escape.
It's always a blessing to have you come to the table of God's Word with us each and every day on this station. Say, wasn't that message great? Pastor Mark is helping us follow the journey of Jesus through the book of Matthew. And along the way, we're finding great highs and very low lows. Jesus will be worshiped by the people, but also beaten and killed by the authorities. But we know that in the kingdom of God, everything gets turned upside down, because the lowest moment in the life of Jesus was also his greatest triumph, thanks to him conquering sin and death on the cross. And in the end, we will see him rise. But he doesn't leave it at that. Before he returns to heaven, he has a commission for you and me that we find in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. Since we know the end of the story and we know that we're called to make disciples, let's lean into the teachings and commands of Jesus along the way. Now, if you missed any part of this message, you can always go back and find it at thewaymedia.net under the Come to the Table section, or just download the Way Media app from the Apple App Store or Google Play Store and take us wherever you go. And while you go out to make disciples, save another half hour for us. as we'll continue to go verse by verse through the book of Matthew the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.